Turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to be brief this morning, and I'll tell you what else I'm going to do. I'm going to be brief tonight. I'm going to kind of split this up. I have a message this morning that I've never preached before. See, I have probably, I don't even want to tell you folks, I probably have, I tried to count it up at one time, but I kind of felt like David numbering the people, you know, God wasn't pleased with it. I'm sure I have 3,000 messages in binders that I preached before. And the temptation when a pastor who has already been in a place for 28 years, it's easy to go back into the file, you know, let's go in the binder, let's pull out some. And I'm not going to say I've never done that, but God gave me something fresh. And that's what's important, is that a preacher keeps himself fresh, and I need to keep myself fresh, because I don't want to just re-preach something that is stale. And of course, the Word of God never gets stale. We know that. But it can be stale to me. So I need it to be fresh as I give it to you. I need this to be... My wife baked that pumpkin seed.
Poppy seed.
That poppy seed cake back there. She made it fresh this morning. Okay? Those precious hands got up and made that this morning, and I'm thankful. Well, I want to give you a fresh loaf baked in my oven as well, and in the oven of my heart, my soul. And I hope that you're helped by it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is probably one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. That just Brother Ralph, boy, this is right down your alley, buddy. You know? And several of you others. Brother Roger, this is gonna be for you this morning as well. And others who maybe you're going through some physical trial in your life. Second Corinthians chapter 11, you know, Paul goes through and he talks about the trials that he went through of the Jews, verse 24. Think of it. Well, let's go back to verse 23. Are they the ministers of Christ? Second Corinthians 11, this is just an introduction, 11:23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, night and day I have been in the deep. Let's just stop there for a moment. You know, is it over in Rome that they have St. Paul's Cathedral? Is that right? You honestly think that if Paul went in there and preached as he did when he walked this earth, they would receive him in the cathedral named after him? Or would they do what's mentioned here? Probably put him in prison, probably beat him, put him in prison. Wait, I'm the Apostle Paul. You named this great cathedral after me. Put him in prison. We'll rename it. In journeyings often, I thought about that the other day, a while back. I was going down 51st Street in Milwaukee, and it was St. Stephen the Martyr Church. Brother Frank, I was thinking about if St. Stephen the Martyr would go in and preach as he preached in Acts chapter 7. I wonder if the people at St. Stephen the Martyr would like that message. I'm talking about the message is salvation by grace through faith plus nothing. It's not any of your hocus pocus, your religious rituals, and all the rest of it. It's not getting baptized. It's not the confraternity. It's not the confessional. It's not all of the pomp and the circumstance. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Amen. That's it. They don't want to receive it. We have our religious system here. We have our order. We have our procedure by which one must receive remission of sins. It's man-made. It's of the devil. It's not any better than what Habib was trying to preach the other night on Friday. Going to the same place. Boy, I'd hate to miss heaven by 18 inches. I'd hate to miss heaven. I think I'd rather be a heathen Muslim or a Hindu than be maybe a Lutheran or somebody that had some of the fundamentals down, but it was all up here. And then here I was hanging on to this baptism. As C.H. Spurgeon said, as I was telling you, C.H. Spurgeon, probably the prince of preachers, he said, the garment of salvation cannot have a thread of human works in it, otherwise it's destroyed. Salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. Once we're saved, then it's time to work. Amen. Then it's time to work, folks. We don't work to be saved. We work because we're saved. Amen. For by grace we're saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are His workmanship. You know what that word workmanship there is in Romans or in Ephesians 2:11? It's the Greek word poema. It's the word we get poem from. Workmanship. We're His poem. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Why do we work? Why is it, Brother Alex, we have 2 hours of sleep sometimes a night? Why is it that we go long nights and work hard in the daytime and we want to give ourselves to God? Because of all He's done for us. When that rich, red, royal, righteous, redemptive blood, get out of your comfort zone. People are in their comfort zones. This church will not grow until we realize all of what Christ has done for us. And I've just been burdened with this whole matter that people are too busy for God. Too busy for His work. Listen, when I get to heaven and I'm looking at the scars on the Apostle Paul and he looks at me, that's what the Roman soldiers used to do. They used to compare who had the worst scars. And you weren't considered a good Roman soldier unless you had deep scars. When we get to heaven, here are the prophets whose skulls were crushed by rocks. Here are others. Here's John the Baptist who was beheaded. Over here is the Apostle Paul who went through all of the things that he outlines there. And in this Laodicean, this lean, lazy, luxury-loving church that we live in today, as we look at the Apostle Paul, they're going to look at us and say, and where are your scars? What did you do for God? Folks, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I just want you to get the right perspective. I want you to get a heavenly perspective. I want you to take the long look. Piling up wealth here on earth and making sure that we're comfortable and we have all of the delectable delights to eat and all of the nice cars to drive in. God bless you, Brother Fred. Nothing wrong with that. And houses to live in and all those things. Diamond rings and all those things. You bet your life it isn't her. Okay? The fact of the matter is, my mom was talking to me yesterday. Bless her heart. My mom has a jewelry collection. She wants to pass it on to Carol. Carol's not interested in it. Am I right? See, now, and it's not, you know, some people, they like that. Nothing wrong with it. I explained to my mom, I said, Mom, I know what my wife likes. It's not gaudy, it's not ostentatious, it doesn't bring, you know, and I think that's what the biblical principle is. Don't wear, you know, costly array and all of that. Okay? She is not a televangelist wife. Okay? And even she went home, didn't she? Huh? Tammy Faye? All right. What I'm trying to say is, folks, look what the Apostle Paul went through. Look at the suffering. And journeys often, verse 26, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, and perils in the city. Boy, we're there, aren't we? perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often. Well, what's that? Anybody know what watchings often means? We're going to learn something this morning. That's what I was trying to tell you the other day, Brother Allen. I got more than 2 hours sleep last night, but there are times when that's all I get. I don't make a regular habit of that. But I want to tell you something, Brother Ralph. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to me and He wants me to spend some time with Him, because I've had too busy of a day to really talk to God, you know what He wants me to do? He wants me to be in a watching. You know what that means? That means that we spend time in prayer when others are sleeping. Yeah. Guess what? Guess what, Brother Dick? When I'm able, when I'm at 1 o'clock in the morning, if the Holy Spirit wants me to pray, guess what? I'm not getting any phone calls. Amen, for the most part. Usually I'm not getting phone calls. I'm not getting people banging on my door. I'm not getting calls. And I'm not rushed. It's quiet for the most part, except for a faint siren or a cry of a wolf. Mm-hmm. Or a coyote. Mm-hmm. Man, you get out there, spend time with God. Notice what the Apostle Paul said? In watchings, what? In watchings, verse 27, often he had sleepless nights. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And here's the pastor's heart. Look what it says. Let's read verse 29. Ready? Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? I want to tell you something. That's a pastor's heart. If there's someone in the church who's weak, I'll tell you what, that is the burden of the fact. Who is offended and I burn not? Boy, I hate it when people get offended. I really do. I don't mean to offend people on purpose. But the fact is, people are going to get offended. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to a church where I don't get my toes stepped on. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart where I need to be spoken to. Okay? I don't want some lily-livered pink tea, pink lemonade and tea type of preacher. I want a pulpit-pounding, shingle-rattling preacher that preaches hellfire and brimstone, that preaches hell is hot and heaven is high, life is short and death is certain. And we need to get the word out because we don't have much time. I'm convinced of that. I looked at my mom, my precious little mom, in the eyes yesterday. She says, I'm not sure I get your program. I said, you don't get, well, hopefully you get the program, AM 690 or whatever. You know, but I said, I want you to understand something, Mom, where my heart is. My heart is that, what do I have? I have maybe, if I'm fortunate, 30 good years left. Man, if Jesus doesn't come. I'll be honest, I tried to take care of myself. Had my organic juice this morning. Right, Ralph? Right. Amen. Squeeze it fresh, man. I'm talking about beets and carrots, organic beets and carrots and celery and pineapple and apple and all that good stuff. Okay. I mean, I'm trying to take care of this body. You can't go to Brother Fred and say, Fred, I want to trade this in and get another one. Right? You can't trade Now, we are going to get a new one. Amen. But that doesn't mean we need to take care of the body we have. So when I say in watchings often, in fastings often, that's not every day. Okay? There are times when we need to pull ourselves aside. We need to, on one hand, we need to be good stewards of our body. On the other hand, we need to be willing to sacrifice. Get out of our comfort zone. Peter could not have walked on that water if he didn't get out of the boat, folks. And let me tell you, the comfort zone was in the boat. Amen? The comfort zone was in the boat. God wants us to get out of the boat and exercise some faith and some sacrifice. That's how a work is built. I remember that great pastor's school one year had an auditorium packed with maybe 8,000 preachers. And Brother Hiles saying, he said, brethren, with tears running down his face, he said, you'll never see anything like this rise up unless there's a heap of travail somewhere. Somebody's got to travail. Somebody's got to weep. Somebody's got to put in the extra hours. Somebody's got to give sacrificially.
for a work to go forward. As we move on, verse 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. You see it. The Apostle Paul was speaking about where his weaknesses were. Excuse me. And he began to speak about how he was caught up to the third heaven in chapter 12. He was caught up to paradise, heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And then he says in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God allowed the devil, just like with Job, just like at Job in the Old Testament, God allowed the devil to attack him, but only to a certain degree. Okay? Now, somebody said, well, God will never allow you, you know, to more than you're able to bear. How many believe that? I think God gives us more than we can bear sometimes. Why? So we'll flee to Him. So we'll go to Him. Sometimes there's going to be times that there's going to be times we can't bear it. Now, I know what you're talking about, brother. You're talking about temptation. There's no temptation given you, but such as is common to man. God will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. Now, there are trials, though, that I think push us beyond the limit. And God says, you know what? You're beyond limit. Here I am. Come to me. Okay? At least they seem beyond the limit to us. Put it that way, from our perspective. I don't know about you. I've got trials from time to time that there's no way I can handle them. Okay? But there He is. As it says in Malachi 3, He shall sit like a refiner. And we are His gold. He wants to burn out the impurities. That's not a very fun experience. Okay? Sometimes, folks, I think we're going to have more than we can bear, but that's why we have God. That's why we have His Word and His sustaining grace. And so here's the devil. Here was Roger the other night. I forgot to pray, Lord, bind the devil, but he remembered it. I think it was the attack of Satan the other night. Now, does that mean good can't come of it? No, we learned in Romans 8:28. Good gets good to come out of this, Brother Roger. You know what? That's the longest that I've sat down and just had time to just fellowship for a long time. A couple hours. Just outside that little, what, shot in the dark cafe. Okay? And I enjoyed being with you. And Kim, even though it was a hard time for you, it was a joy just to be there for you. And Alex finally pulled the tow truck in a couple hours later. Praise the Lord. Finally got there. All right. Folks, Satan's going to attack us. He might attack our flesh. He might attack our finances. But I want to tell you something. There's a God who's going to bring us through. There is. For this thorn, so he got a thorn in the flesh. He says, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might not depart from me. Verse 9, and he said unto me, what? Let's read it together. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, get a hold of that. Isn't that a great verse? God's people said, amen. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Not in strength, not in, hey, bless God, I'm strong. I want a fellow to Christ down at the rescue mission. He went to live with one of our faithful men. And his name was Randall Bouvier. And I went up to Randy and I said, Randy, I said, now listen. I said, you need to stay close to the Lord. You know what he said to me? I'll never forget this, honey. He said, he put his arm up like this. He says, Don't worry, preacher. I'm strong.
That's what he said. It wasn't but a day or two later, he fell right back into sin, right on his face. You know, anybody who says, I'm strong, look out, man. Look out for the lightning or whatever. The fact of the matter is, folks, is we're not strong. Mm-hmm. Now, Ephesians 6 says, be strong, what? In the Lord. See, if he would have said, I'm strong in the Lord, okay? You see, that verse is very important. I can do all things. Is that what the verse says? Yeah. But that's not the end of it, is it? I can do all things, what? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You better learn, you can't live the Christian life on your own. Yes, there's a matter of discipline. The word disciple means discipline one. And we need to discipline ourselves. I'm saying to you, if we're living for Christ, okay, we are going to have reproaches. We are going to have stripes. We are maybe have imprisonment. We are going to have the burdens and heartaches of this life. But the fact of the matter is that even if Satan comes to buffet me, though Satan should buffet me, the song goes, okay? It says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect through weakness. Folks, we are fragile. Fragility and omnipotence. Fragility and omnipotence. Let's say that together. Fragility and omnipotence. We are fragile, but he is what? Omnipotent. It was a normal commuter day in Minneapolis. People were traveling, and then it happened. They were passing over the bridge, going from St. Paul, I believe it was, to Minneapolis, and it began to buckle. People were lost. People lost their lives. You see, folks, they thought that bridge was strong. But that which they thought was strong ended up being weak and collapsed right underneath them. Now, I'm telling you, we live in a fragile day. Our bodies are fragile. 1,000 things can go wrong with these bodies. We better realize that here's the grandest ship ever built since that time. Over 3 football fields long. Massive engines. They wrote across the engines, even God can't sink. Little did they know that within the hull of the Titanic was a great flaw, Brother Ralph. As they built that ship in the Irish shipyards in Belfast, they didn't realize that they had put too much sulfur into the iron that went into that ship's hull. And when it got up into the cold North Atlantic Sea, when it hit that iceberg, it wasn't like a can opener, it shattered, creating massive holes in the hull that even Captain John Smith couldn't help save. And that proud captain and the proud people on her who thought not even God could sink that ship went down. Thank God there were some preachers aboard that even when they were in the cold, icy waters, cried out, receive Jesus! And get saved. Many people were saved that night, but many people lost their lives, including many wealthy people. We're fragile. We're fragile physically. The Bible says that our life is like a little vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away. Maybe you've seen that commercial where it shows the fire chief out there. And it says, this man seems like he's very strong. Nothing's wrong, but something smaller than a little tear is about to give him a massive heart attack. He's about to have a massive coronary. And here we find out that even our own water supply has terrible fleshy, brain-eating amoeba in them. But don't worry. We're putting enough poison and chlorine in there. You know? The fact is, folks, we are fragile physically. We're fragile emotionally. We're fragile in our souls and our spirits. My mother looked at me as she left yesterday and she said, "I'm fragile right now." I said, "I know. Life is fragile. That's why we handle it with prayer." Folks, we are fragile, but He is almighty. See, there are certain things that are not fragile. Okay? And the fragility, and I wanted to talk about our country and our government, how fragile our country is right now. How fragile our military is right now. How fragile we are economically right now. China holds over $1 trillion of our bonds. It could break our back any moment it wants to. We're fragile governmentally. I know the president stands up there and says, "I'm here to tell you the State of the Union, and it is strong." We know better. We know better. Bless his heart. We know better. We're fragile. We're going down. I don't know how much longer we have. I think we're still the greatest country. And I began to think about it the other day, Brother Bob. As much as we complain about this country, where else would you want to live? Where else? Yeah, I mean, we've been to the Cayman Islands. I mean, there's a lot of places I want to visit. Yeah, maybe I want to visit Hawaii, but man, I don't want to live there. You know, even though that's the United States of America, I understand. I mean, I thank God for America. Where do you want to live? What? England? No thanks. You know, wherever you go. If a nation is great in this world, it's probably because it's been affected by the United States. Because we have fought for their freedom. So I'm grateful for America, and Brother Hiles, he used to cry out to God that God would send revival to America, and we need to pray for revival in this land. But it's fragile. Our families are fragile. We're physically fragile. Our families are fragile. They're just about ready to be splintered apart and torn apart. Our country's fragile. Governmentally, we're fragile. It seems like every day, here it is. Pete Domenici, and now we have others who are just, the Republicans just seem to be falling apart. Sad. I'm talking about conservatives. Here's a conservative senator, both pro-life and fights for everything we believe in. And here he, tries to, some wicked thing in a bathroom in Minneapolis. Larry Craig. How sad is that? Here's a guy that's supposedly on our side. Oh, you idiot, you fool. What are you doing? Throwing away everything. You see, you can build a testimony over 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and you can lose it in a day. That's why we need to walk circumspectly and be very careful. Folks, we're fragile. I want to tell you something. Our salvation is not fragile. The Word of God is not fragile. Our God is not fragile. Our church is fragile in one way, but our church is strong in another. Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to talk about our sources of strength tonight. I hope everybody will come back. And please come back Tuesday, okay? Let's bow for prayer. We are fragile, but He is omnipotent. I just want you to remember that this week. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Are you thankful for that? Our salvation is not fragile. Thank God for that. But that's why this world's falling apart, folks. Because when you put God out of your life, you're not well mentally, you're not well physically, you're not well emotionally. You just about fall apart any moment. But I'm thankful that whatever the devil wants to throw at us, we can flee to the arms of our Heavenly Father. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship. What a joy to find. Leaning on the everlasting.